Hello and welcome to our midweek message. We have a brand new message series that we're going to go through, and that's the book of Jude. The book of Jude and mockers. Mockers, how to contend for the faith in the last days. And so thank you for tuning in. If you would, give us some thumbs up, some hearts, and also, if you would, please share or host a watch party. We want other people to know what God is doing in our lives and through the Wilton Baptist Church during this time of crises and difficulty as we begin this road to recovery. And let's be praying for that. Let's be praying for one another. If you have the Bible, find the book of Jude, if you would. The book of Jude, right in front of Revelation, is the book of Jude. Just one chapter. So we'll be looking at the first few verses here today. Jude 1, verses 17 and 18 is where we'll begin. Then we'll back up to the other passage. But before we do so, let's go ahead and pray that everything will go well with this message and with our internet. Father, thank you for the opportunity to meet online, to be able to minister the Word of God through this social media platform. We pray for our church family. We pray for one another, that you would encourage hearts and lives. We pray for those recovering. We pray for those without work and for the leaders in our country. Lord, we pray that you would perform your perfect will through all of these events that we've been going through. Help us to reunite as a church soon in even greater fellowship and greater effectiveness for gospel ministry. Bless each listener and viewer as well of this message, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the book of Jude. Think about scoffers or mockers or skeptics. These are terms a lot of times we use together. And the word mockers is what we find here in our verse. Skeptics are never satisfied. You think about skeptics. When Mr. Fulton first showed off his new invention, the steamboat, a river steamboat, skeptics were crowded on the riverbank yelling, "It'll never start!" But it did. It got going with a lot of cranking and groaning, and just as it was making its way down the river, the skeptics were quiet for just a little bit. And then suddenly you could hear them start to shout, wait a minute, it'll never stop. It'll never start, it won't go, and now it won't stop. We won't be able to control this new steamboat that Mr. Fulton invented. Well, we find some skeptics, some scoffers, or the Bible term mockers here in our passage. Look in verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Isn't this amazing? Here's the half-brother of Jesus, his name is Jude, and he's committing this parchment, this letter to parchment. There were false teachers and false teachings that were becoming prevalent in society, and also within some churches. And false teachings were popping up in the early church. And Jude gives vital instruction on how to deal with the false teachings in the last days. Now notice how he said, the servant of Jesus and brother of James. He writes with great humility. He's not name-dropping or demanding special treatment. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody, and it's like they're nudging you like, hey, I know this person, and I know that person. I had dinner with this person. They're kind of name-dropping. And Jude was not like that. He said, I'm the servant of Christ, and friend, I hope that you would consider yourself a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the half-brother or the full brother of James, the half-brother of Jesus. Now, perhaps the most well-known verse in this book is verse 3. Notice, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And so, earnestly contending for the faith. This book, this letter, was written like what the Bible commentary from Charles Ryrie in the Study Bible says, "This letter was written to defend the apostolic faith against false teachings that were arising in the churches. Alarming advances were being made in an incipient form of Gnosticism, not ascetic, like that attacked by Paul in Colossians, but antinomian." Antinomian. I'll explain that in just a moment. And the Gnostics viewed everything material as evil and everything spiritual as good. They therefore cultivated their spiritual lives and allowed their flesh to do anything that it liked, with the results that they were guilty of all kinds of lawlessness. Now, Gnosticism viewed material things as evil, so they could perform severe neglect of material things, food, sleep, work, other things in life. Antinomianism is free grace. That's what antinomian means, is grace. Free grace is what it has to do with. And what they would say is, you have God's grace, do whatever you want. God's grace is able to cover whatever sins you commit, so therefore, do whatever sins you want, and that magnifies the grace of God. So this Gnosticism combined with antinomianism in the early church, and it was a combination that was kind of like the mystical and metaphysical type religions of our world even today. It's kind of a blending together, spiritual things and material things, and an emphasis, overemphasis in certain ways on one and the other. So, spiritual, but to the neglect of personal holiness. Sometimes you'll hear people say this. Today, I've heard people say this. You've heard people say this. Well, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Okay, they're onto something. They're onto this idea of Gnosticism, which things material are bad, but also antinomianism. Well, I could do whatever I want. I'm spiritual, but I could do whatever I want because of the grace, free grace of God. That's the whole idea. Jude was fighting this type of false teaching. His book was written around 70 to 80 AD, about 40 to 50 years after the ascension, the resurrection, and the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice our two main verses for our book study, and Lord willing, the next seven messages on these Wednesdays will be from this. Verse 17, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts." Mockers means a derider. Here it implies in the Bible a false teacher. So a mocker, a scoffer, a derider. Now I looked up mockingbirds, and you see that as the promo poster online for our message series, a mockingbird. This is very interesting. You can look this up on allaboutbirds.org and find the northern mockingbird, which some northern mockingbirds live in our region. So you may actually encounter one of these. Here's what they say about the northern mockingbird. "If you have been hearing an endless string of 10 to 15 different birds singing outside of your house, you might have a northern mockingbird in your yard. These slender-bodied gray birds apparently pour all their color into their personalities. It's not like just another mockingbird that appreciates a good song." Or here's what they say, "It's not just another mockingbird's." Here's what they suggest then. "It's not just other mockingbirds that appreciate a good song. In the 19th century, people kept so many mockingbirds as cage birds that the birds nearly vanished from parts of the East Coast. People took in nestlings out of nests or trapped adults and sold them in cities like Philadelphia, St. Louis, and New York for a hefty fee in 1828 of $50. Northern mockingbirds continued to add new sounds to their repertoires throughout their lives. And a male mockingbird could actually have around 200 different songs in its lifetime." Now, what that means is, it'll hear another species of bird or another variety of bird, and it'll hear their call or their song, their chirping, and it will imitate it. You have to imitate it. So just like a mockingbird imitates another bird, but it's not that bird. It sounds like it, but if you were to see it, it's not the real thing. It's not really a blue jay. It's not really a cardinal. It's not really, and you fill in the blank with any of your favorite songbirds, the yellow finches or some other beautiful birds that you may really like to watch and listen to. So mockers may sound good, but they're not the real deal. Like the mockingbird, they may sound like a bird that it's not. Mockers of the Lord Jesus Christ in the last days have several things that will identify that we're contending with and contending about. First off, there's mockers of faith. That's what we're looking at today. Then mockers of punishment. That is the correction, the chastisement, or the punishment of God. There's mockers of good, mockers of godliness, mockers of truth, mockers of God's love, and mockers of God Himself. And so we'll be looking at these and identifying how do we respond in these last days to mockers. Jude says the apostles of Jesus gave warning about these mockers, that in the last days mockers would come. I guess at a minimum, the apostles of Christ that gave that warning would be Peter, James, John, and also Paul. Perhaps others. And here's Jude, in addition, giving warning of mockers in the last days. Here's some examples. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Friends, mockers will make fun of, mockers will twist logic, mockers will lead astray, and sadly but true, mockers have a following, and people are following their false teachings. I read about a Christian rock singer who just yesterday said that he no longer believes in God. Here's a man who made money off of Christianity by making CDs and albums in Christian music, and now he says, I'm no longer a Christian. Just about a year ago, Joshua Harris, the man who wrote I Kiss Dating Goodbye, said, I am no longer a Christian. These are examples of people who've gone away from the faith, if they were in the faith to begin with at all, and are now a mockery of and towards Christianity. Now, there are others who are even more vocal against the Lord and against the Lord Jesus Christ and His teaching, the teaching of the Bible. And they may be teachers of secularism or atheism, and sometimes they're teachers of religion that are actually teaching against the Word of God and mocking the tenets of our faith. So what is our response when people are mockers of the faith? Now, we are to contend for the faith. Are you a contender for the faith? Now, we are in a spiritual battle. We're fighting. There's the sword of the Spirit. There's the Word of God. There's the shield of faith. We are in a spiritual battle. So how are you contending for the faith? I encourage you, have spiritual, emotional, and reasonable responses for the false teaching that you hear promoted. What do I mean by that? Well, 1 Peter 3, verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So be able to give an answer, but do you answer just everybody? Listen to these two verses that almost sound like they are a contradiction, but really they are a complementary balance that we should have in our life. They're back to back in the book of Proverbs, chapter 26, verse 4 and verse 5. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be also like unto him. And the next verse, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. So answer a fool, and don't answer a fool. What am I supposed to do? You need godly discernment on how to answer a fool, a person who is mocking Christianity, who is mocking the faith. There are some people that are scoffers and skeptics, and you can tell if they are really looking for answers or if they're just making a mockery of you, of your faith, of Jesus, of the Word of God. And so have some discernment. Are you going to answer them? How are you going to respond? And I wouldn't carry on dialogue for long, long times in person, over the phone, and especially not on social media with somebody. We should contend for the faith, but we need to be wise about it, if they're really interested or not. That really would go a long way. So maybe give a response, but then if you could tell they're just making a mockery, then move on. So let's contend for the faith. So how can we respond to the mockers who are actively fighting against our faith? Here are three things we should be involved in. Number one is found in verse 2, to engage with others. So let's just read these verses. We read verse 1. Verse 2, multiply or mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. So here we find we are to engage with others. This idea of multiplying mercy and peace and love. This is amazing. Here's what Jude was saying. I would like for you to have more mercy in your life, more love in your life, more peace in your life. Let that be multiplied in you. Now, how is it that we have more love, mercy, and peace in our life? You've heard the saying, you reap what you sow. So if we extend the same thing that God wants us to extend or have in our life to extend that to others, we also will reap some of that. So we should be showing mercy. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 7. When it comes to engaging with others, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy is not getting what I deserve. I deserve condemnation, but I'm no longer condemned. That person doesn't deserve something good, and he deserves something bad, but mercy is not giving to others what they deserve. So I won't get what I deserve, but then in turn, as this is multiplied, I don't have to give something to someone else that they don't deserve. I don't have to do that. Vengeance, not even justice. I don't have to take it upon myself to take care of this, but I should always be showing mercy. How about living peacefully? Jesus said, Matthew 5, 9, you got to love the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Be a peacemaker. Peace is tranquility, calmness, gentleness. It's something that God can instill in us. Peace in a storm. Peace be still. Peace along the raging river. Peace when going through the valley of the shadow of death. Peace which passeth all of our understanding. And peace that we can demonstrate, convey, and show and share with other people. How about love then? The word love is the word agape. Love with sacrifice. Love with generosity. Love with giving and sharing, love with godliness. This is how God loved us. For God so loved the world, the word agape, that he gave his only begotten Son. And so let's have this multiplied in our life by the grace of God, that I would have more mercy and more peace in my heart and life, and also this love to give to other people. Now, right now, I am exhorting you. I am exhorting you right now. So we want to engage with other people, and I'm engaging you via this live stream, through this video. Some are listening, some are watching, and so there's some engagement here. But God wants not only for the preacher to encourage others and to engage with other people, but the church members as well, Christianity as well. Every Christian should be engaging with other people to encourage them, to encourage one another in the lives that God has allowed us to have and has given to us. A meeting of the church in person helps facilitate this idea of mutual engagement and interaction. Now, there are many people in our world today that are suffering emotionally and socially, and they've been isolated during the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, some experts are actually saying, you can Google this and try to find the stats on it, but some experts are now saying the emotional and psychological harm by the lockdown may be greater than the virus itself. Now, every life lost to the virus, and there's been a rippling effect because some people don't get surgeries because of the potential of getting the virus, and they put off this and delay that. So there is a ripple effect that we're starting to see. You know, I'm not doing the cancer screening or something because I might get COVID. So we'll see some more of that. Every lost life is tragic, but some lives are being lost now due to fear and panic and intense anxiety. And you hear of a lot more suicides and other issues. Listen, if you're struggling right now, spiritually, emotionally, socially, give me a call. Let's talk. And if you do not have peace in your heart, we can introduce to you the God who came to make peace with himself. You can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And because you have peace with God, hey, you can have a lot less anxiety and fear, and you can have the peace of God, which passes all understanding, just kind of wrap you all up and hold on to you and encourage you. And so give me a call. Call us at the church. Email me at info@wiltonbaptistchurch.com, and let's talk if you're very discouraged right now. And let's engage with others. Number two, exhort one another. We find in verse 3, kind of an echo of what we find in other passages, that we're to be exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, he says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." To exhort means to strongly encourage. And we need to exhort one another in these days that we're living in. Now, he talks about the common salvation. Did you know that every person who's ever been born again or trusted Christ for salvation, they've been saved, forgiven of their sin, they were saved the same way? We are saved by grace through faith. We believe in what Jesus did on the cross, shedding his blood and dying in my place, shedding his blood on behalf of my sin, the remission of my sin. He was buried for 3 days and he rose again, and Jesus is alive in heaven. So we're believing that. We've expressed our faith, dependence, confidence, not in religion or good works, but in Christ, the resurrected Christ, and him alone for our salvation. And so he says the common salvation. Everyone who's ever been saved, it's not because they've been religious or done good works. They've been forgiven their sin because they believed in Christ. They accepted the free gift of salvation for themselves. And so he writes to them about the common salvation, and he wanted to write more about that, but he said there's so many false teachers and false teachings going around. I'm going to address something different right now. So we should be exhorting one another when it comes to our salvation. How about faith in history? Notice what we're contending for. The faith, contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Contending for the faith, not just any faith, but the faith. The faith. We're to contend for it. The faith is unchanging. Friends, this book is unchanging. Jesus, God, the Holy Trinity are unchanging. And so we are standing upon this book, the promises of God, the doctrines of this book, which we would say are the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so exhort one another about salvation, also about faith. It was once delivered to the saints. Now, this means it's kind of historical. It was delivered in the past. In the past, that's what it was. And we know that the Bible is enduring. It's purified. It's tried. It's in heaven. It's an enduring book. The faith is continuing today. And we have the same faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that Jude had. We have the same faith that Peter, James, and John, and Paul, and others had. And so exhort one another when it comes to our salvation and our faith. What these men believed are the same things that we believe today. Now, within Christianity, there are many branches. The tree of Christianity, there are many branches, and there's some variations. And some of those branches are erring from the truth or erring from the Word of God. But friend, whatever church you're in, you want to make sure that they're holding on to this book and they are contending for the faith. You can join that battle in contending for the faith, exhorting one another, engaging with one another. And then finally this, embracing grace. Verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Embrace grace. Humanistic spirituality of today would say, the more you sin, the more grace abounds. The more you sin, grace is magnified even greater. That's what they would say. In 1716, the typeset printers back then, in the King James Version, in the year 1716, the typeset printers made a mistake in the printing of John chapter 8, verse 11. Jesus is speaking to the woman taken in adultery, and where our Bible says, he said unto her, go and sin no more. In this typeset misprint, it says, Jesus said unto her, go and sin on more. That's a big difference, isn't it? Instead of saying, go and don't sin, go and sin. Go find more sin to commit. This Bible edition of the King James Version of the Bible is known as the Sin On Bible. Sin On. The Sin On Bible. Now, as false teachers increase in these days, and as mockers mock sin, there are three truths we need to remember, because they'll say sin on, because the more you sin, the more you magnify the grace of God. But here are three truths to consider. Number one, fools make a mock of sin. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 9, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. So instead of mocking sin and saying, hey, it's all right, let's be more righteous, be more like Jesus. Mockers also abuse grace. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 say, what? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, is what the verse says. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And then the last truth then is Christians are to seek righteousness. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first. Number one, paramount, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Someone offered this comparison between revenge, justice, and grace. Here's what they said. If someone brutally murders your son, and you take things into your own hands, that's revenge. If you're content to allow the law and the courts to arrest and punish the offender, that's justice. But if you pardon the murderer, adopt him, and take him into your very own home to live with you as your son, that's grace. And yes, that's what God has done for us through the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so friends, as we are contending for the faith, let's be reminded to engage with others. When you find mockers around, you hear mockers teaching and false teaching in different social platforms or in person, you hear things that are not right, then engage with others. Keep encouraging other Christians. Exhort one another. Just be around other Christians. Encourage those that you're around. And let's embrace grace. Let's show grace to others. Let's show that mercy, that peace, and that love that God has shown to us because of the grace of God. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you through this time that we're living in. I'm glad you've been a part of our first edition of this study going through the book of Jude. And there's a lot of mockers out there, so let's be aware. And if you've never trusted Christ, let me invite you personally to contact me at info@WiltonBaptistChurch.com. We'll set up a time where we can talk about your Christianity. If you're really discouraged, emotionally distraught, socially isolated, send me an email. Let's set up a time to talk. We want to encourage you with these amazing truths from the Bible that can be a blessing and a help. Thank you for watching our midweek service today.